Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series, empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is October 27th, 2017. Welcome to our podcast episode, Hot Commodities Weekly. I'm joined here by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Mike. Happy Friday to
everyone. Happy Friday to you. I got to ask you, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh, my God. I think everybody that knows me is going to not be shocked by what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to be a pint of beer.
What?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Oh, you do it very well. There's a costume. I mean, I went to the Spirit Halloween store.
Oh, there you go.
You know, the kids were out there looking for what they were going to be. What are you going to be?
I'm going to be a fox.
What the fox say?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Help me. Oh, my God.
I think our audience is going to want to see pictures.
No, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Well, welcome, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about the beet harvest, where we're at with the beet harvest. We're going to talk about there's been a little changes in pricing in Mexico and what's going on down there. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and then wrap it up.
Yeah, so, it's been an exciting time. If you're in the farming community, obviously, weather changes are going to start to impact the way the farmers are going to be getting out in the fields. And so we want to get everybody up to speed on what's going on with those beet farmers out in the Midwest.
So what is going on? Where's harvest?
It's all over the map. You know, if you're looking in the Far East, Michigan sugar, they haven't even really officially started yet. Mm. The temperatures weren't cool enough for the beet piles so that they didn't feel like they could ventilate them properly. So they're going to kick off this coming week, whereas you have American Crystal, the largest grower group, they're done.
Mm. Yeah.
Already. You know, it's not even the end of October. They had over 390,000 acres that they got through in about a month's time. So you've got that widespread swing. You've got others in the Red River Valley, say Mindac growers, are about 80% complete. Tonnage around the country is looking pretty good. So tons per acre. You know, you have anything from records and areas like Sydney, Montana. You have notoriety in southern Minnesota and Mindac as far as tonnage goes. And then you've got, on the other side of it, you've got sugar content. So in sugar beets, Mike, as you know, it's great to have tonnage, but you're also after sugars.
Right.
And sometimes too much tonnage might mean the beets have been bloated with water. And the sugar content actually goes down in that case. And that might not be ideal if you're looking at it from a processor standpoint. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think we've got a pretty darn good crop going to come out of the ground. And
what's your expectation on production for this next crop?
I think we're about 50,000 tons above where USDA is probably putting it right now. If I had to guess, it's probably about 5.1, 5.15 million short tons raw value.
So another very good crop.
Yeah, I think so. I think we might even see the beet guys want to reassess the percent of total pre-sale that they've done on this crop and maybe take a look and see where their sales are against their upcoming production that they're now physically doing. I understand United might have a few hundred thousand short tons more sugar than they maybe had projected, particularly over last year. So we'll see how that progresses.
Excellent. Well, let's shift over to Mexico. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about, Craig, over the last couple months is the extremely high prices in Mexico, over 40 cents a pound FOB the mill for a 50 kg bag. So now we've seen in the mid 30s. What's going on? I know they're just about to get started. One mill is about to get producing in, next week, as early as next week. So what's going on down there?
I think those that have been waiting with bated breath as far as our trade policies on the NAFTA negotiations, I believe that part of what's gone on here is the peso has devalued to the dollar over the last week or two. And so we went from about 17 pesos to the dollar to over 19. And as a result, when you go look at the prices for sugar in the market locally within Mexico, you're talking about 740 pesos for 50 kg bag on Estandar, which equates now to around 35 cents a pound, and 770 pesos per 50 kg bag for refined sugar, which is around 36.5 cents a pound FOB the mill. So a little bit of the currency exchange has had to do with that. And I also think that the mills, as they get closer to startup, they need to move some sugar for cash and for storage. So when you're going to start doing a new crop, you need the warehouse space. So I think they're probably doing some sales. It's our understanding that the majority of the mills will start kicking in on their crop production starting in the middle of November. So we may have that one mill you mentioned as an outlier starting a little bit earlier than the rest, but the majority of the milling operations may kick in maybe about a half a month to 30 days earlier than some normal crop year. So we'll kind of keep our eye out.
So, Craig, we get a lot of questions about this with the suspension agreement. How is Mexico going to monitor and manage shipping raw versus refined sugar to the United States with the mill groups? I mean, how are they going to go about monitoring that?
You know, I think Mexican government wants nothing more than to make sure that they maximize the opportunity to export sugar. Well, they're in a major surplus situation, and they don't want the U.S. Department of Agriculture to have a reason or a rationale to claim shortfall to their import quota and then reassign to other imports through TRQ to satisfy U.S. refineries' needs. So I think the government of Mexico has made it very clear to the milling groups that, hey, look, we need to understand how much of a percent of your production is going to be of 99.9 sugar, which is refined sugar, and then other sugars, anything from standard sugar at 99.4 pole and then below, which of course is what's going to have to qualify for entry under raw sugar, is that under 99.2 pole. As a result, the government said, look, we're going to issue CQEs, certificates of quota eligibility for export, and you're going to have to designate how much of these are going to come in into the mix as far as refined or other sugars, and they're going to actually create a tranche.
Okay.
You know, I think many of us that's been around for a while have heard that terminology when it comes to the refined or specialty quota in the U.S.,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, organics.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think the Mexican government's saying, look, we're going to have two tranches specifically in the first 6 months, the Octis and Jan-March periods. And we're going to monitor to the mill groups how much of your quota that you're allowed to ship is going to be of refined versus other sugars. And if a mill has not shipped its quota of under 99.2 pole sugar, they're not going to be allowed after March 30th to ship any more refined sugar until they meet that obligation. I think it's a real key here because we don't know if these mills are actually going to produce that quality of sugar yet.
There's a handful of them that can actually produce it, and so it's going to be important to make sure. And I know the Mexican government and sugar chamber wants to make sure that this agreement is successful. So, okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. I'm not even going to ask you about NAFTA unless you want to go down that road.
Boy. That is a tricky road to go down. I think the biggest thing that I've read in the most, I think this week, was that they're not even close to anything. Yeah. They're talking about anything from sunsetting the entire agreement in the next 5 years to postponing negotiations. But as we've talked to folks down in Mexico, it seems to be a more prevalent front page news story there than compared to here, where we've got about 1,000 other things that are in the front of the burner compared to NAFTA. So.
Exactly. Okay, we'll keep everybody abreast as negotiation goes on. But it sounds like we got some time before.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see any resolution anytime soon myself.
Well, Craig, this was great.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing your beer costume.
Well, you're going to have to take pictures and make sure Michaela says, oh, okay, I'm glad you didn't put that one on.
I think my wife will say that. All right, everybody. Thank
have
you for
listening.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers.
Take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com. Also visit us on LinkedIn for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.